Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters, and you never know, maybe a Twisted Mister or two. I hope everyone is having a good week so far and has an even better one to come. And hello, Naomi, hello, Kate, and hello, Aphasiana. Glad to have you all here. Hey, Naomi.
Hello.
How's it going?
Hey, going good, hey. Hi, Aphasiana. Hi, Kate. So great to have you with us tonight. Thank you so much.
Oh, absolutely.
Can anybody hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, Kate.
Yep.
Oh, oh good. Oh, thank you.
Well,
yeah, so,
talking.
Naomi, Tell us a bit about this artist that you're featuring.
Yeah, Vishma Maharaj. I don't know if I pronounced that well, but she's all over my Facebook. You know, that's where I discovered her, really, on Facebook. She's from Port St. Lucie in Florida. Well, that's where she lives now, but she is originally born and raised in the northern mountains of Trinidad, where she says she spent her childhood chasing after chicken, goats, ducks, and rabbits, and, you know, spending her vacation or summer vacations at the beaches on Trinidad. And when she was a little girl, she used to run down up and down the seashore and toss starfishes, making wishes that one day she'd create things that people would love. And so what she does is she uses artificial intelligence, a program called Midjourney. It creates artwork. It's a computer generated artwork. It makes phenomenal stuff. I mean, her stuff is so cool, and it is for sale. Her art is for sale. You can buy it on Etsy, and I just thought, you know, that she created stunning images. And that's why I decided to feature her in a contest, you know, for one of our shows. And if you want to see her artwork, well, you can, you know, she goes by the name Whizzical Mermaid on Etsy. And, of course, if you just Google her name, Vishma Maharaj, and on Facebook, you'll see all this beautiful images, computer, I don't know what you call it, computer-generated artwork that she makes. She just takes whatever's in her head, and she just designs it on the computer, and then, poof, there it is. So it's almost, you know, what you can do with a computer these days, it's amazing. But, you know, she has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of, you know, I had to stop myself. Well, kind of stop myself. I'm still working on that resolution, that New Year's resolution of trimming down my prompts. It's not there quite yet, but, she has hundreds and hundreds of amazing, amazing images. You know, enough to fill up I don't know how many other contests. So ever somebody's interested, yeah, just, you know, you just type in her name and, my gracious, you know, so much marvelous imagination, you know, creativity will pop up before your eyes. So, yeah, so that's it for Vishma Maharaj from Trinidad that lives in Florida now. So, awesome. Yeah, awesome. I thought she was quite interesting and quite fascinating and unique. So, yeah, and we did get quite a response, you know, from her artwork. You know, Dark and Doris, I have to salute her because, you know, she wrote and she wrote and she wrote to the prompts. My gracious, she says she just loves them. So hats off to her. And Faziana, too, I think you were really inspired. You have two rights in, so that's awesome. So, but
yes, I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, great stuff, you know, very original, so I turn it back to you, Pam.
All right, well, you know what, I'm going to turn it right back to you, because it's your show.
Okay. So I'm going to put up the first right, and first of all, I want to ask Faziana and Kate, if you have like a time limit or something I should know before getting started?
I'm fine.
You're fine, Kate?
I am, yes.
What about are you, Aphasiana? Are you in a time slot or something?
No, I can hang out as long as you need me.
Oh, wow. Oh, you guys make me so happy. Okay. So I'm going to put up the first write by Danielle Duham. And, you know, this was amazing write by Danielle Duham. I think it made front page pick, if I remember well. And, yeah, so Kate, why don't you go and give this a read for us?
Yes, of course. I'm happy to. You can hear me all right still, yeah? Good. Old Ironsight. Huge oak logs hewn into bones, held together by square pegs and made waterproof with bitumen and hemp. Then a layer of stain put on top with square windows for iron cannons that could be closed when in high seas. No ship of the line could send her to the cold depths. A legend formed around the wooden mast boat that her ghost still sailed the sea, maiden of the sea, that rode the waves as if a part of it, captained by a fierce tyrant. Lattice work was made upon her railings, and a heraldic image of a unicorn and lion was carved and put on the bow. To signify her origin of being, an English brig christened the Northern Star by the Admiralty. Below deck was a huge hold with stairs leading into the gunwales, each ready to do battle at a second's notice. End poem.
Yeah, I love this. Awesome read there, Kate. You know, I really like this write by Danielle Duham. I had one prompt up. I decided that I think that was like a last minute thing. I saw this ship that she had designed, our artist had. And, you know, I said, well, I had so many contests up already with ships in them and the water and the ocean, because that's something I really love. And I said, oh, do I put it up to this prompt or do I not? And then the last minute I said, okay, I'm going to stick it in the contest. And, you know, this resulted in this beautiful write. So I'm so happy. Maiden of the sea that rode the waves as if a part of it, captained by a fierce tyrant. And I really love his attention to detail there in the next stanza. The latest work was made upon her railings where a heraldic image of a unicorn and lion was carved and put on the bow. You really get to know this ship, you know, she gives it like a personality, Old Ironsides. So I really love this write by Danielle Duham. And what did you think of Aphasiana?
I thought it did a beautiful job of creating the setting. I also really liked that part about the lattice work and the heraldic image. I'm into like medieval reenactment stuff, and you know, we all have our own heraldry that shows what section is ours, and I'm really into like, those heraldic images. So I can imagine the unicorns and the lions, because at that time there were certain like positions the unicorn had to be in, and it signified different things if its hoof is up or what have you. So it gives a personality to the boat. I also really liked the language use. Huge oak logs hewn into boards. Hewn is not a word you hear too often, but I appreciate the use of it.
Oh, that's an awesome comment there, Aphasiana. And I'm so happy to learn those things. I had no idea. The position of the certain the markings of the carvings or, you know, the on a boat there, the signification, that's wonderful to know. And so thank you so much. Awesome comment. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this is just really wonderful. It has great attention to detail. I really like how he writes about a warship and almost and then personifies it. I really particularly like Maiden of the Sea that rode the waves as if part of it captained by a fierce tyrant. Lettice's work was made upon her railings, and her heraldic image of a unicorn lion was carved and put on the bow. You know, just great attention to detail drawn from the artwork, and also creates like a kind of a story. So very well done.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yeah, like you said, Pam, it does like kind of create a story there. Awesome comment. And Kate, you read that so wonderfully. Your thoughts?
Thank you. It was a very nice poem to read. I do love sailing. It's one of my favorite things. And I love the fact that it's called Maiden of the Sea. Lovely. Oh, no, it wasn't actually. It was christened the Northern Star by the Admiralty. I don't know if anybody's aware.
Whoops. We lost you, Kate.
Let me check. Hopefully she'll call back. Oh, yep, she accidentally dropped.
Okay.
So hopefully she'll call back.
Okay, well. She was just about to say like a really interesting fact there too, you know. That's so maddening. But we'll get back to her when she phones in. And in the meantime, I'm going to put up our next write here.
Naomi. Dave in Late Night Poet said an interesting fact. He said the ship's real name was the USS Constitution. It's the oldest commissioned ship in the world that's still afloat, and it's berthed in Boston. So folks can actually still see it. Yeah.
Wow. Cool. Damn it, Dave. Damn it. Wish I'd known that, but now I do. So thank you so much. That's awesome when people on the board give us like cool information like that. I so like that. Thank you so much, Dave. So I have our next write up. And so Athasiana, if you want to give that a read for us, please.
Sure. The Fairy Princess by Vicky Moore. Her fairy wings are studded by glowing balls, like lightning bugs on steroids. More shining lights on her skin, held by webs of thick silver. She is translucent, beautiful, spellbinding. But look a little closer at this fairy princess, and you will see the silver webs are scarce. The butterflies captured in her silver hair longingly watch their sisters flying free. Her eyes, pale blue, appear like stones or ice in the moonlight. They hold no warmth in them. Her pink mouth waits to spill poison. Sometimes evil appears beautiful. End poem.
I love the twist that you put on this, right, Vicky Moore? If you look at those eyes, they do look like kind of evil. But, you know, if you don't take time to look into those details that she mentioned here, you know, you just see like the pretty face. But, the spider webs and the hair, those eyes that are icy-like. Like stones, and her pink mouth that waits to spill poison. And, you know, that message at the end, sometimes evil appears beautiful. So, so true. Wonderful, wonderful right here by Vicky Moore. And Pam, your thoughts?
I agree with you. I really liked that this had that twist at the end that offers up that reminder that oftentimes beneath beauty is a wicked heart. And I really like the imagery all the way through. But I especially like, but look a little closer at this fairy princess and you will see the silver webs are scars. So wonderful, wonderful write and very well done. And just to let you know, Kate is back with us.
Oh, okay. Great, great. So Kate, did you get the chance to hear Vicki Moore's poem?
I've been reading it as I've been listening to you talking, but I didn't actually, I think I just heard the last couple of lines, but it's absolutely beautiful. I was really taken by that fairy, that beautiful face and all those butterflies, and beautifully written as well. But it was very good when it got to her eyes pale blue appear like stones or ice moonlight. That's beautiful. How many times did I say beautiful so far? Six. Must stop doing that.
I always say really, like really, really. Or you know.
Yeah. That's another one. Yeah, so that's it. Thank you very much.
We all have our little backs like that. And Afasiana, what did you think of this write?
I thought it was beautiful. I like that it has the description of the beauty and then looking closer at the different elements of that. I like that the webs are seen as scars, that even the butterflies in her hair, I mean, of course a butterfly doesn't want to be in someone's hair, so it's longingly looking at the ones with freedom. And the mouth waiting to spill poison is really great. And the eyes, too, the eyes do have that eerie look to them. So I like that she went beyond the surface and really paid attention to the details and gave it that extra layer of interest, making it into a story just from the image. I thought that was really good.
Thank you so much. Awesome, awesome comment, Afasiana. And I'll put up our next write, and this is going to be our first SoundCloud of the night by Arcana Amour.
All right. This will be Undying Devotion. And here we go.
Beneath the gaze of a pallid moon, two silently awake from deathless dreams, bathed by a flickering candlelight. Caress that paints the walls with dancing shadows. Countermar, watch, centuries wax and wane. Escorted by his beloved Countess.
Banner. My mind is craving for
as tokens of his promise. Undying devotion. He furnishes her with wreaths of blood-red roses. Side by side, they rest in ornate opulence. Within their flamboyant twin sarcophagus, a shrine to the passion they immortally share, forever to be joined in an entwined embrace. Arising to the allegory of crimson petals that summons a thirst to seek these
What a great, you know, awesome SoundCloud here by Arcana Amore. Just to tell you, everyone, you know, when you write and you can't phone in, the next best thing is to provide a SoundCloud, an audio for your poem, and that way we get to hear your poem read in your voice. And that is such a great, awesome, you know, experience. Yeah, this is really great. And you know what, girls? I know the three of you are fans of dark, right? So I'm going to turn it over to you guys right away. I'm going to comment on this further. But I'm going to have Kate, you go first, Kate, on this. What did you think of this write?
Oh, I thought it was wonderful, as usual, of course. One isn't surprised. I mean, it's never anything to disappoint when Arcana Amore is giving you something like this. I think I put on my comments the last time I heard it, an all-consuming tale of take and take, powerful and erotic. So that's exactly how I feel about it now. Beautifully done.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. You know, he does, you know, intertwine that darkness with that eroticism and, you know, that, yeah, so true, that sensuality there that comes through. Awesome, right? And Athasiana, your thoughts?
I like that he wrote the timeless tryst, because trysts are generally short. a tryst by its nature, I kind of think of as like a quick rendezvous, kind of like hookup thing, as opposed to a serious relationship. But when it's, you know, vampires or something like this, their tryst lasts almost forever because the time works differently when you're immortal, and that one little meetup can be almost forever. So I thought that was an interesting kind of oxymoron, the timeless tryst. The way that it worked together was cool. I also liked the alliteration of cradled contently inside their coffin. Lots of good C sounds there. And the vocabulary, the opulence, the sarcophagus, entwined, it just has this old-fashioned kind of beautiful language that makes sense with the content.
Yeah. Awesome comment there, Faziana. Wonderful observations. And I see Tom has joined us. Hi, Tom.
Hello. How are you doing?
Oh, we're doing great. So glad to have you with us. Did you get a chance to hear Arcana Amour's SoundCloud?
No, unfortunately, I missed the whole thing.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. We'll catch you on the next one, Tom. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yes, this was definitely an epic dark tale. I enjoyed the imagery and the alliteration, the dark sensuality, and I appreciated the tale of lovers connected throughout eternity. So, excellent write and very well done.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, you know, I really loved, you know, how he brought so much emotion into this, you know, excellent dark write on, you know, like Pam said, that love that, you know, that drifts on into eternity, you know, almost, you know, I had one casket there. He added another one in just to make this write really exquisite and really awesome. What a wonderful story told indeed. So bravo, Arcana Amour. And I'm going to put our next write up. And Tom, as soon as you see that, if you can give that a read for us, please.
No problem. Stained Glass Princess. Stained Glass Princess. You've emerged from your cocoon. The brilliant sun shines through your kaleidoscopic wings. But still, you do not fly. Your diamond-studded tiara subdues your glistening tears, and the ruby on your finger steals the crimson glow from your face. Suitors stand as stumble-bums, each one knowing the worth of every jewel that adorns you. But no one knows the value of your regal heart. End poem. Nice vignette.
Whoops.
Great
I'm
meeting
on
there,
mute, Tom.
And...
oh, sorry, I interrupted you, Pam. Yeah, great.
No, I was
read,
just saying something because I figured you were on mute.
Yeah, great read, Tom. Awesome. And, you know, what a beautiful, amazing write here by Damn It Dave. And, you know, free verse. Wow. I think this is the first free verse I read from Dave. And, you know, this is has awesome attention to detail throughout it. You know, the imagery is just superb. And, you know, it leaves us with a message you know, at the end, you know, that no one knows the value of your regal heart. I just love how he finished the whole thing out. But, you know, the wording throughout this is just amazing. I think he captured that prompt so beautifully. Bravo. What did you think of Faziana?
I liked the stanza, and the ruby on your finger steals the crimson glow from your face. Using the color of the ruby and talking about, you know, how it actually takes away from her beauty, takes away the attention from the actual woman, because everyone's so focused on the jewels and the outfit and how gorgeous all that is, when you should be paying attention to the person wearing it, and nobody's seeing what is actually the most important, which is her and her personality. I also love the use of stumble bums. It's just so fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, me too. Yeah, that was a really awesome word. And Pam, your thoughts?
I enjoyed this write. I thought Stained Glass Princess was a perfect title. Beautiful imagery throughout. I really liked the message of the emergence of a young woman and the fools that don't know her true value. Yeah, stumble bums is definitely an excellent word choice. My favorite imagery, though, is the brilliant sun shines through your kaleidoscopic wings, but still you do not fly. Wonderful, right, and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that line, too. You know, but still you do not fly. It's like, you know, a statement there, you know. It's like, you know, although you have all this beautifulness, like a butterfly, still you do not fly. And Tom, you read that so beautifully. What are your thoughts?
Well, it reminds me, it really stands out to me, I should say, as a metaphor for so many brilliant young people who suddenly find themselves caught by fame, notoriety, recognition, and everybody talks about what they've done, what they've accomplished, but I've listened to them too many times say, it's like they're all about what I've done, what I've accomplished, but not about me and what I feel and where I am. And listened occasionally to some real painful discussions on their part about how much they almost wish they had never become famous or had never, you know, accomplished what they accomplished, because they feel like they're the loneliest person in the room full of people all screaming about how wonderful they are. And that's the reason that last line, but no one knows the value of your regal heart, really struck home to me. Really nicely done. Really, really nice piece here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree, Tom. You know, it has, you know, that great message in it. It's very thought-provoking, like you said. Great observation. And Kate, your thoughts?
Oh, I want that dress. That is so beautiful. I love it. I'm a sucker for butterflies anyway, but that is just exquisite. And those color combinations, it's just amazing. Yes, sorry. I was blown away by the dress. But I thought this is beautifully written. And we've all mentioned all the good standards. Every one of them is wonderful. But Stained Glass Princess, you've emerged from your cocoon. That's just the start. We know where we are. And it builds from there. So, Dave, may I say, very nice to see you welcoming in your feminine side. Beautifully done. Thank you.
Yeah, great comment there, Kate. Yeah, awesome. You know, that a man chose that dress. Awesome. Yeah, really cool, Dave, that you did that. Awesome, awesome writing in. And I have our next poem up. And Pam, if you have a, when you see that, you can give that a read for us, please, by Scott Sharp.
I would be happy to. All right. This is A Child's Transformation by S. Sharp. Change is coming. Life takes flight. She is becoming the butterfly. The egg is laid. Hidden is the beauty along the underside of the leaves. Majesty of nature breaking free. She is the caterpillar devouring the leaves, growing, developing, nature's destiny. Wrapped in chrysalis, she becomes the epitome of beauty, transforming metamorphosis revealed for all to see. The beauty her stained glass wings attached to her bodice reflects the light shining upon her. Nature's queen, her ballroom gown alit in orange and red, turquoise and blue. She takes flight to much ado. She now flies free. Ah, butterfly, it was meant to be. End poem.
Oh, what an amazing write. I really, really like this one. You know, and it's so, he chose the same prompt as Dave did. And, you know, it's so fun to see, so fun and so awesome to see, you know, two different perspectives, you know, taken from the same prompt. You know, this is really beautiful. The beauty or stained glass wings attached to her bodice reflect the light shining upon her. Nature's queen, her ballroom gown, you know, and then he goes into the colors, which is absolutely beautiful. But, you know, all the while thinking, talking, you know, about the transformation, you know, from that a butterfly goes through, you know, from the caterpillar to the wonderful butterfly. I love the title, To a Child's Transformation. And Tom, your thoughts on Scott's poem?
I think this is really, really nice in the way that he starts with the becoming. And how, you know, hidden is the beauty. And then wrapped in a chrysalis, she becomes the epitome of beauty. The beauty, her stained glass wings. He really catches quickly and with a nice sort of pace to it, the way the transformation comes about and what a revelation is. But most of all, I like how it's sort of a metaphor for how each person is unique, and once they awaken, they transform. I think it's really beautiful in that sense.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the amazing observation there, Tom. And Aphasiana, your thoughts on Scott's right?
I like the emphasis on the metamorphosis, that it doesn't just begin when she has the beautiful dress. It thinks about the process of getting there. And then there's the emphasis on the leaves, with each stage. The underside of the leaves is where the egg is, and then devouring the leaves. And then it's almost like the wings become the new leaves, and she becomes what nature the beauty of nature herself, not just depending on it, but being that growth. I thought it was a nice transformation, went through the stages beautifully.
Yeah, awesomely well stated there, Aphasiana. Yeah, I too loved how he attacked that, the metamorphosis, throughout this rite. And Kate, your thoughts?
Oh, yes. It's another one of those it's so easy to listen to because it's so beautifully written. And like you all, I enjoyed, I think, all the stanzas. But the beauty of her stained glass wings attached to her bodice reflect the light shining upon her, nature's queen. It's just very, very soft and sweet, with a lot of caring and a lot of love, I think, in it as well. But so the caterpillar becomes a beautiful butterfly. Unfortunately, it has to eat all the leaves off your plants to get there, but it's still, it's a beautiful thing. Again, thank you so much for sharing.
Awesome comment there, Kate. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a wonderful extended metaphor on the changes that happen in a lifetime of growth and development. I really like how it, like as Afasiana was saying, how it goes through the entire process. I'm particularly fond of she is the caterpillar devouring the leaves, growing, developing nature's destiny. I think that speaks really well on how children and young people need not only physical nourishment, but also it can represent that emotional nourishment that they need, that, you know, love and support. So excellent write and very well done.
Oh, yeah, that's an awesome observation there, Pam. Great comment. So I put the next, I'm going to move on to the next poem. And Tom, I put your poem up for dear, so if you want to give that a read for us.
This is one where I'm still not satisfied with the title. It was a hard one to title properly, for sure. But anyway, lava, what grows? We all hear and translate. Few receive without wanting it to be a present. Pride demands. Harsh, uncivil, superiority grows like a wildfire. Its upward flight on fumes, cheered by those who most delight in how far and fast the fall will be. Tyrants are rarely remembered for the length of their reign. Any of the glorifications of their ego erected, men think in terms of glory. Power must be displayed. Women have learned, even when they are dragons, to let the pot simmer, be smell, be city, be spell with aromas. Destroy by allowing some to taste. Let them fight for fate to make them wise. Too late. Poison, ivy wraps the base. The tree of life, rooted in discord, raises its limbs towards the light. Even dragons must land, nest in memories of wisdom, sage, seer, a visionary, the flames of youth. Listen, the wind through the leaves carries milkweed seed, laughter on the wind without the sound of wings. Dragons are for little boys, graceless ladies, warriors seeking a war, because peace is too difficult to understand. Bitterness easier to address, the beauty of death, a single doorway in which possibility dies, wings fold, and no one is home to listen to the stories. All the bluster sought to tell. Some, thank God, be mesmerized by and from.
Wonderful, wonderful read and write there, Tom. And a Weaver, let's start with your thoughts.
Hello, sorry. It's a new setup and I couldn't find the mute button. I think this was a glorious It really was. I just love this. Pride demands harsh, uncivil superiority, grows like a wildfire, its upward flight on fumes, cheered by those who most delight in how far and fast the fall will be. You will always get that, won't you? People waiting for you to fail dismally, so they can say, oh, well, I always knew that. But yes, and it goes on. I love it. Poison ivy wrapped under the base of the tree of life, rooted in discord. Well, that, I mean, that is very true. Our little world is fast becoming wrapped around with poison ivy. It's very sad, but I think we're basically just not. It's never going to recover from mankind, I don't think, which is a shame. I thought I really enjoyed this. I really enjoyed the narrative. I enjoyed how it flowed beautifully. So thank you so much for sharing with us. It was lovely.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well said there. And Afasiana, your thoughts?
I love the stanza that starts off about the tyrants. How tyrants are rarely remembered for the length of their reign. They don't usually last very long. Tyrants get overthrown. But they had that moment where they were completely in charge, and that seems to justify for them what they feel they have the right to have. I liked the idea of instead letting the pot simmer, be spelled with the aromas, destroy by allowing some to taste. And that patience, that it's not to say that women can't be wicked or that they aren't destructive, but it's often in different ways. I liked the wind carrying the seeds with the sound of wings, laughter on the wind, that the beauty of listening to nature and the idea that wind, which doesn't seem like a solid thing, actually makes a big difference in where things grow and how the environment all comes together. So that acknowledgement of that in that little bit of the wind and the seeds is beautiful. Then when they sit on wisdom, I can't remember where that is, but there's a part about the dragons needing to touch down into the tree and having that the nest in the memories of wisdom. Even the most messed up rulers need to take some time to think about the history and hear from advisors and try to get a little bit of direction. This is a really interesting poem. I feel like it's layered, and it was beautiful to listen to.
Oh, absolutely. Really great observations there about how, you know, everyone has to find direction. I thought this had amazing imagery and metaphors all the way through. I like how, to me, it speaks on the idea that too often people are seeking glory in those large moments of life rather than appreciating the beauty in simple things. I really like that you have this poem in two parts and that the two parts are separated by the word listen, which I think is very important, that we don't grow and we don't learn unless we take time to listen. I particularly like the imagery and the wind through the leaves carries milkweed seeds, laughter on the wind without the sound of wings. Wonderful, right, and very well done. And are you back with us, Naomi?
Yeah, I am. Sorry about that. Me too. I really liked that this poem was kind of, you know, like in two parts, you know, the first part where you talk about, you know, the uncivil. I really liked, you know, when you address tyrants are rarely remembered for the length of the reign, any of the glorifications to the ego ejected. And then, you know, I also like, you know, when you talk about the wind through the leaves carries milkweed seeds, laughter on the wind without the sound of wings. Oh, that's just so beautifully put there, Tom. And, you know, I love how this poem is so layered and so, you know, it's very thought-provoking, you know, its lines here. Very layered piece, very beautifully written, and you know, amazing write for that prompt. I think you know, I really loved where your mind where it led your mind. So unique and creative imagination there, Tom, and you know, a great write. So thank you so much for sharing.
Oh, thank you.
So I'm gonna put up our next. Did everybody commented, I suppose. So I'm gonna put up our next write, and Kate, if you can give that a read when you see it, my dear.
Yes, of course, no problem. I think I've got it. Is it To Take the Throne? Oh,
yes, that.
I've got it, thank you. Okay. A crown cast aside, out in the snow, tossed from a tower to the forest below. The diamond in the centerfold sat projecting images foretold. A massive army, castle set ablaze, hectic rushing through a pine tree maze. The glow became a beacon in the night, drawing the princess to see her mother's plight. The final image it had shown was her mother killed to take the throne. Not knowing her daughter was in the way, the crown would not be her aunt's today. She mourned her mother, who was now dead, and rested the crown upon her head. The diamond had been an eye all along, a jailer to encase those who have done wrong. A laser protruded straight up to her aunt, transformed to cage for her mother to haunt. She had a new castle built and now ruled this land with a demonic force in the palm of her hand. End poem.
Wow, amazing write, an amazing read there, Kate. You know, you really brought out the rhythm and the meter of the whole poem. Yeah, I really like that she spun, Darka Norris was able to spin a whole, you know, amazing story, you know, in the rhyming form. That just amazed me. You know, the way that poets can do that is just so amazing. But I just loved, you know, the whole, I was captivated, truly captivated through this whole story. And Faziana, your thoughts?
I really loved the stanza. The diamond had been an eye all along, a jailer to encase those who have done wrong. That's very interesting. It really created a twist to the story, and the idea that the aunt, you know, has that cage that comes over her, and that this crown was so powerful and meant more than just, it wasn't just a symbol, but it in a way it could have been, and it empowered the daughter to take her place as the leader. Really cool.
Yeah, I agree. I found this so cool. Pam, your thoughts?
Are you muted?
I'm not muted. It's Pam maybe had to go. What did you think? Is Tom, are you still with us? Hello, can anybody hear me?
I can hear you, my dear.
Okay. Well, Kate, you go ahead and comment.
Okay. Preaching to the chorus here. Yes, I thought it was beautifully written. I am a sucker for rhymes. I really, if it's done correctly, if it's done properly with care, you hardly notice it's there. You know, as long as you don't just stumble or you look like it's not been done correctly, this is just beautiful because it does. It completely flows and takes you along with it. The whole story is there, and not that many words, but I love that. I love storytelling. It's one of my favorite things to write in that form. I like this particular stanza. A laser protruded straight up to her aunt, transformed to cage for her mother to haunt. That is really smart. I like it. I also noticed that I say aunt, but I think in America they say aunt, which I can't do. It doesn't sound right for me. Different words. I love the way we have the same words and pronounce them differently. Very interesting. So yes, I have thought all the way through this was beautifully written. And it was a lovely story as well. And I can just see that tower, and I can see that beautiful crown thrown down. I'm surprised it didn't crack. Yeah, beautifully. Thank you so much, Jack and Doris, as usual. An interesting, sharp, and talented piece of work. Thank you.
Yes, amazing. Amazing comment. And, wonderful imaginations tonight, you know, to those prompts. And Pam, were you able to hear Dark and Doris poem?
You know what? I wasn't able to hear it, but I did read it earlier, and I really enjoyed and appreciated her storytelling. I thought this had a great rhyme, wonderful imagery. It was an epic tale on the battle for a kingdom. And the ending and it kind of made me think of the idea of someone who wanted to be a better and a more moral ruler than the previous rulers, but ended up being just as dark. So excellent write and very well done.
Awesome comment, Pam. Yeah, I really liked the story that was told, and, you know, like I said, all in rhythm and meter as well, so that was really awesome. And I have, Faziana, I have your write-up, my dear, so if you want to go ahead and give it a read for us.
Wearing the Rose. Gifted a gown too grand for this town, black velvet rose petals layered in nature's elegance, like the Gothic daughter of the Queen of Hearts. I feel the dark beauty cascade in graceful swishes. Being adorned in such a wonder, my mind is transported, a land of black Barlow columbine, and before the storm, irises, shaggy mane mushroom stools around a sequoia stump, elderberry and lapsang souchong is served. Pixies dance around candles that are bonfires in their eyes. How could I resist twirling to their song? End poem. And I can't even say the words that are in my own poem.
But, you know, those, I think is lapsang souchong an invented word, or is it a kind of soup?
It's a tea.
Okay, yes. Cool. Okay.
All the flowers and mushrooms and things that I put in are black or almost black because they're so dark. Because I was trying to match the image.
Oh, wow! Yeah, I just noticed that. The so true. The elderberry. The sequoia stump. Wow, that is really awesome that you thought of that. And, you know, I just love this all the way through. You know, it just seems to flow so beautifully. And, you know, Afaziana, I always loved your voice. I think you have the sweetest reading voice, you know. So I really liked your reading of this poem. And, you know, black velvet rose petals layered in nature's elegance, like the gothic daughter of the Queen of Hearts. I feel the dark beauty cascade in graceful swishes. You know, you just captured that dress so perfectly and, you know, so beautifully. And then the last stanza, it even brings in like a story surrounding this whole character, you know, with the pixies dancing and how can I resist twirling to their song? It's an amazing finish to it, you know, just a beautiful, beautiful right here. And Kate, your thoughts?
I mean, what an inspiring picture to start with. That really helps, doesn't it? It's just so gorgeous. So you've taken that and you've built on it, and you've made a person. You've actually given us a personality and a person where that dress is just the dress with something half living inside it. So you've made it come alive, and it was beautifully done. I thought that your use of rhyming and the different elements you put into it made it so interesting. I mean, shaggy mane mushroom stools. I didn't even know there was a thing like a shaggy mane mushroom. So you see, education is a wonderful thing. Elderberry and Lapsang Souchong. I haven't ever tasted it, Lapsang Souchong. So I must try it sometime. I will try it and come back to you with the results. So yes, thank you very much for sharing that with us.
I honestly haven't tasted it myself either. I picked it based on what it looked like.
I like it. And I am well known for putting in words that I can't pronounce. I did it the other day in one of my pieces of poetry. I'd never heard it pronounced, so I just thought, it looks like a good word. Let's throw it in there. Then I had to read it.
Well, you know, me being French, is half of the words I can't, when I get come to read a poem, sometimes I'm there stumbling over a couple of words.
I love your pronunciation. I love the way you pronounce them. I think it's great. I love it.
I mumble them. I mumble them together.
So do I.
And Pam, your thoughts on Afaziana's poem?
Well, this is beautiful all the way through. It's a wonderful write on a girl who can hear the songs of pixies. And I really like how it speaks on the idea of that the right dress can really, you know, send you to another realm of thought, you know, make you feel like somebody else. All absolutely wonderful, but my favorite parts are the lines like the gothic daughter of the Queen of Hearts and pixies dance around candles that are bonfires in their eyes. Wonderful lines, beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, indeed. Amazing write, Afaziana. Would you like to say anything about your write, Afaziana?
No, I guess it's because I am kind of a cosplayer, dress up in fairy things and in medieval things, and I feel like when you put on the outfit, sometimes it feels like you're stepping into that world. So when I pictured the person getting into that dress, I thought it would make them feel like they were in the fairyland. And then I just looked up a whole bunch of things that were black flowers that would be in the garden of a place where someone would wear that dress.
I'm awesome. It does, like Pam said, it does show, you know, your incredible your great imagination, you know, unique write to that prompt for sure. And I have the next write-up, which will be a SoundCloud by Selena, who has been hanging out with us on the board for since the beginning of the show. So whenever you're ready, Pam.
All right. And this is Castles in the Air by Selena. And let me find that. Here we go.
For you, my dark inamorato, I will wait for an eternity to succumb to your kiss of my deepest fantasy, to dance through the years as your devoted lover, for you thrill my aching need like no other. As you close the door, we fly back in time to when romance was eloquent and so sublime, in an ambiance so opulent and darkly erotic, that strokes the senses so quixotic. In this gothic boudoir, with its delicious decor, at last you stand before me, the man I adore. From the four-poster bed, the night rings with sighs as I greedily drink from your hungry, piercing eyes. Candles cast shadows upon your face as I feel your touch skimming over lace. The timid twilight peers through the windows, watching bashfully as our passion grows, shivers of longing for so many years bring my yearning forth in tumultuous tears, in idyllic illusions of magic and mystique, on whispering waves you carry me to my peak. After we lie, our skins sweet with dew, sheathed in black satin, I nestle upon you, feeling you beneath me, firm and strong. I know I am exactly where I belong. Yet, as day breaks, my bed's cold, and you're not there. Sadly, I realize 'twas merely castles in the air.
Naomi, are you on mute?
Oh, yes, I am. You know, I was just saying, I love Selena's voice, and, you know, the background music was just amazing throughout this piece, the sensuality. You know, Pam, that's it for our next Art of Seduction. We're just going to put a whole bunch of prompts and different beds on there, and that'll be the rights.
Well, you know what? As long as it's not my bed, because I never make it, I'm good with that.
I'm the same. Oh, my gracious. I'll make it before I go to bed, but, you know, not in the morning, so it stays undone all day. And then I make it before I go to bed. I'm awful. But, you know, what a wonderful write this is, Selena Castles. You know, a bittersweet right. You know, that sadly I realized 'twas merely castles in the air. You know, just the way you said that last line, oh my gracious, it just just, you know, so nostalgic, you know, such beauty in this rite, such elegance. I just love this rite. I can't say enough about it, but I'll stop now, so I'll leave other people the bits and to comment on. Kate, your thoughts?
I'm terribly sorry. My system appears to be playing around. I've lost everything here. I'm trying to get the phone back, but it's... Could you go
on? Okay, I'll ask. Yeah, I'll ask. Faziana, your thoughts, my dear?
I thought it was very elegant. It has the sensuality, but, like, not in a smutty way. It's in a very classy kind of sensual story. It has eloquent language. It's just beautiful, and it really fits the classical music in the background. I thought that was a nice touch for the audio. It was very well presented.
Oh, yeah, you know, just an awesome, you know, beautiful piece. Awesome comment there, Faziana. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a beautiful rite. Wonderful imagery and rhyme. Just haunting, dark, emotive, and deeply sensual throughout. And I like how there's that twist at the end, where it turns out that the loving was nothing but a dream. And so it adds a bitter sweetness to it, a kind of a sorrow that has an emotional impact. So excellent rite and very well done.
Oh, indeed. Awesome comment. And Kate, what did you think? Are you ready to comment, my dear?
Yes, thank you. I don't know what I pressed, but as usual, I'm like chaos in movement. Everything I touch falls apart, but I've got it back. Yes. For a start, you have that beautiful prompt picture. That is absolutely, I mean, you could not help but be stirred by that. It looks so opulent. And Selena, you managed to make your poem just as opulent and just as wonderful, draped in satin and silk. I love it. I love it. I don't know if anybody's ever slept in a four-poster bed with the curtains drawn round. It's the most cozy. So cozy. So really cozy and comfortable. But I love this particular stanza. I thought was just in this Gothic boudoir with its delicious decor. At last you stand before me, the man I adore. That there you are. Two beautiful sentences and sum the whole thing up. The whole poetry, the whole poem, I should say, is set up by those two lines. I loved it. And your voice, as usual, beautiful. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Awesome, awesome comment there, Kate. And I have our next write-up, Faziana, if you want to go ahead and give that a read for us, please, by C. Opal.
Okay, Dream Forest Fairy Tale by C. Opal. In the dreamscape forest, past the northern rainbow lights, the oldest fairy resides as ivory snow swirls, feather silhouettes at night, rainfalls wash bits of broken hearts into purple dryad tapestries to adorn turrets and palace stairs. Opal moon dust hangs in the air. Silver star auras shimmer upon legion of frost fairies, fluttering in diamond skies with a thousand meteor eyes. They make music in morning dreams, till twilight clouds float down, down to touch pure white unicorns beside sunlight river streams. Across Middle Earth mountains, trails of bears and deer appear. Snow owls fly into the mist. Mermaid pearls are found inside the Snow Queen's castle lair. You hear shadow people sing the fairy woman's requiem, bring her poems, letters, and rings, but none to the changeling queen. End poem.
Oh, that was an awesome, awesome read there, Faziana. Wow. You really brought out, you know, the powerfulness of this poem, the beautiful imagery throughout. You know, I don't know how many fairy tales or, you know, that she weaved into this, but this is awesome. The Middle Earth, you know, I recognize that, you know, for being Lord of the Rings. But, you know, the changeling queen and a snow queen, you know, there's so many different, you know, I think she took, you know, a whole bunch of fairy tales and just mixed them into this, you know, beautiful, beautiful, right? And I loved how she did that. She, you know, that she created that prompt in itself by mixing in so many of the different prompts in there. I think she must have three different prompts at least in that picture she created. So she created an awesome art piece herself here, Siopal did. And, you know, what a beautiful write, full of, like I said, you know, I just love till twilight clouds float down, down to touch pier white unicorns beside sunlight, river streams. And, you know, so many other beautiful images in this piece. Pam, your thoughts?
Oh, this is absolutely beautiful. Captivating storytelling. I really like how she was, inspired by different artwork. And this has great imagery all the way through, but I especially like rain falls wash bits of broken hearts into purple dryad tapestries, and then silver star auras shimmer upon legions of frost fairies fluttering in diamond skies. There's just a nice use of gentle alliteration throughout, and very well done.
Mm-hmm. So true. Great observation there, Pam. And Afaziana, you read that so beautifully. What are your thoughts?
I thought it was gorgeous. You know, it flowed so beautifully. It had really whimsical phrasing, which was fitting. I like the way that it had movement in it. Like the clouds float, but they don't just float. They float down, down, and the repeated down makes you picture them, like making their way down. The frost fairies, I really enjoy, especially because frost can really have that fairy feel to it. You know, when there's the designs, I call them the designs. It's not really a design, but your car windows in the morning get these frosty swirl things, and I always like to try to find pictures of them, sort of like we do looking at the clouds. That might just be because I'm strange, but to me they always look like images. And the frost fairies makes me think of that. The way that it describes the combination of the nature and the magic just feels alive. And it gets your other senses going with the music and just the air. I thought that it was a really nice capturing of the prompt.
Mm-hmm. I love that you said that, the way you said that, Afaziana. You know, makes you feel alive, you know, the way that this was written. It sure does. Beautiful. And Kate, your thoughts?
Hello. I lost my mute button again. Yes. I'm going to put my glasses back on so I can see what I'm looking at here. Yes, the picture prompt was absolutely beautiful as well, wasn't it? And yes. Yeah, that first stanza, I mean, that's so pretty. in the dreamscape forest past northern rainbow lights. The oldest fairy resides as ivory snow swirls silhouettes at night. That's lovely. Beautiful. So that prompt was taken and it was flown with, and we have all the aspects of what's going around this particular two figures, what's happening. There you have the castle in the background. I think an awful lot of imagination and a great deal of work allowed this piece of poetry to look as simple and as soft as it does, but it took work. So I really admire that. I think that's wonderful. So thank you so much for letting us read that, C. Opal.
Amazing, amazing comment there, Kate. And Kate, I have your piece up, and we do have a SoundCloud, I think, for that one. So Pam, when you're ready.
Oh no, I've got to go after that. Beautiful. Oh no. Oh dear. Okay. Don't play it.
Oh, absolutely, we must. It's an absolutely beautiful, right? And we're going to do that. So.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, I always enjoy your writing, Kate. And this is Damned by Weaver of Dreams. And I'll go ahead and push play.
There is darkness all around me, and the sound of screams and wailing brings a smile to my face. Damned souls howl the most against their fate, it seems, unable to believe they're held accountable. I am a demon, expected for eternity to torture these vile people who thought that killing was their right, much as landed gentry thought fox hunting was acceptable. In fact, their aim in life. Do I ever feel that one or two might be innocent? No. The criteria for rooting out miscreants is strict. If they are in my canyon of despair, it is because each of them had been handpicked and scrutinized. Tonight might be the exception that proves the rule. A girl who looked like a 12-year-old appeared. On her pale, worn, tear-stained face was a look of fear and disbelief. Then I walked towards her. Seeing me, she fell to the ground, wailing in terror. Understandable, given the horns, forked tail, and red eyes. I sat down beside her and asked what she had done to be sent here. I only fought back. I asked her to explain, and the sorry tale emerged. A drunken stepfather, a useless mother, a pretty girl. Many nights she had hidden in the woods. Tonight she had not moved fast enough. He'd stopped her. From a deep, dark place had come a rage, so all-pervading that she lost control. Grabbing the fire iron, she struck. When he was down, she struck again and again. When her mind cleared and she saw what she'd done, she collapsed. She told her mother to call the police and say her daughter had killed her abusive stepfather and herself, which she did. The police found her hanging from a beam in the barn. For the first time, I questioned the rules and sent her back.
This is a dark, deep, but so captivating story, and I can't help but think that this really, really goes on. This really happens. It's not always, sadly to say, just a story, but what an imagination, what a wonderful creativity, from that prompt that you drew from that prompt, Kate. This is just, amazing. And your ability to tell a story is just outstanding. You know, you just draw us in and keep us there, you know, with every line. So amazing, amazing story told here. And I love the title, Damned. What did you think of Faziana?
I really like the way that this image created a character who is usually a punisher, but also is someone with judgment. It's not just a monster, even though it is a demon created to punish people in hell or purgatory. I really liked the third stanza where it's questioning its role a little bit, but then saying, no, you know, that it's, I'm firm. Do I ever feel that one or two might be innocent? No. I really like the line, the criteria for rooting out miscreants is strict. I love the language used there, miscreants. Then the idea that they have been scrutinized, and yet, despite the fact that they've already been scrutinized, the demon takes the time to ask the girl about what she did. And in a way, this could be punishment if she had done something wrong to have to go over it and think about it. But that he considers it and realizes that sometimes there is a reason to kill, that there are exceptions where maybe she wasn't the one in the wrong, and gives her that second chance. It's a powerful story. And I like the way that he's self-aware. He understands that, of course, he's scary. He has horns and a forked tail. But he's not evil, per se. He's doing his mission of being the jailer and yet discharges someone he's supposed to punish because of her circumstances. So he's quite honorable. I like the character that was developed here, and the phrasing was very elegant and elegant and eloquent. Combine those two words.
Thank you so much.
Awesome, awesome comment there, Faziana. And Pam, your thoughts?
Oh my goodness, this was such an epic dark ride, and beautifully read, Weaver. I like how into detail and into depth you get into this character and this situation. It's a horrifying, haunting, visceral imagery. I like that you present us with a first-person narrative of a demon who is at first quite certain of his duty and of the judgment passed. I have to agree with Faziana on that one part. Do I ever feel that one or two might be innocent? No, the criteria for rooting out miscreants is strict. But I also like how it takes a turn at the end. You say, for the first time, I question the rules and sent her back. Wonderful tale and very well done.
Thank you.
Oh, yes. I agree. Awesome, awesome dark right there. Like you can do them, Kate. You know, well written and so captivating.
Thank you. I actually thought when I'd written it, I actually thought, oh no, this is really bad. This was like a 10-year-old has written it. So hopefully it's not as bad as I thought it was then. Thank you.
Oh, no, it was amazing. And I have our next write-up because I saw him on the board earlier. I hope he's still listening to us. So I'll go I haven't put myself to work much, so I'll go ahead and give this a read. It's by Maisai Olo the Dun. And it's for a while, and I just love that prompt. I'm strung up upon the tone of death. These voices speak upon themselves. If she were but a pigeon fowl, then no recoil has to come upon my soul. But she is a feathered gear, a watchman, upon the estate of mere stance to dance the turtle doves that dance, taking away souls which she has in her upper hands, lifting sphere come upon scene when she just died, the forever queen. I light a candle and to come, and when the feather of death is upon me, son, watch out for her, for she different here. Women in the world know the estate you appear. I wish I could know all their take, but then would I no longer be the man in the make. I walk the mile through distant smile, and when it is the dictation for a while, I smile. Pain comes through me in the different pier, but I house her enough in the utmost tier, for she is someone wonderful I ought to hear, that the world may take notice of her pain to the leer. Death has always come too soon, but if it was a glimmer, I hear from her again. The light to set the sore may rise, and when I'm in pain, I make it in a slight disguise, so that she may not know, because of the feelings which I will ever show, to smile for a while, so that she does not set to notion I am in for a mild end poem. I'll let you start commenting on it, Pam. What are your thoughts?
All right. Well, first of all, a wonderful read there, Naomi. This has captivating imagery and metaphors all the way through. The general idea that I get from it, and especially as it gets to the end, is the idea of putting on that mask of being strong for somebody else, of being there for somebody else, and hiding your own sadness. I really like the image. I like how he does the inner and end rhyme. I like the imagery in stance to dance, the turtle dove that bands, taking away souls, which she has in her upper hands, lifting spheres come onto scene when she just died, the forever queen. It really has a fairy tale like feel to it. It kind of makes me think of something you'd probably like read in like Shakespeare. It has a Shakespeare type influence to it. I also really like the light set, the sore may rise, and when I'm in pain, I make it in a slight disguise so that she may not know because of the feelings which I will ever show. The idea that sometimes it's difficult to show the true feelings, or we're in a situation where we can't show true feelings. So excellent write and very well done.
Awesome observation there. Awesome comment there, Pam. And Aphasiana, your thoughts?
The line, but she is a feathered gear. Because the image really does look like that. It's like a steampunk crow or a raven. That's pretty cool. I also find it very interesting that it talks about the feather of death. Where is it now? When the feather of death is upon me. That's a really interesting concept, because death tends to be a heavy subject and feathers are so light. And you think of Dickinson, like hope is a thing with feathers, but feather of death is the complete opposite of that. And I guess it makes sense because birds like that tend to be carrion or I don't know if that's the right word. It's where they eat dead things. So that makes sense with that the feather is the coming of the birds to take you away, and in little bits at that. But it sounds so beautiful to imagine that feather falling, and that's like the closing scene. It's almost like throwing the dirt on your grave. The feather falls, and that's the sign that you are truly gone, the feather of death. It's just a beautiful mental image for something so dark. I like it. It captures my imagination.
Yeah, exactly. Wonderful observation there. Wonderful comment of Hazianna. And Kate, what did you think of this poem?
I thought it was another beautiful piece of writing. There's so much coming at us tonight, isn't it? Excuse me. I love it. Stands to dance, the turtle doves at bands, taking away souls which she has in her upper hands. I actually love the format because it looks like a story. You know, it's not a piece of prose. It's not a rhyming couplet or so. This is a story, and it's unashamedly doing just that, telling you a story. But yes, it was beautifully written. I'm in awe of some of these people. They're so good. You're all good, but some so good. So yes, thank you very much. I really enjoyed that. And thank you for allowing us to hear that, my MSI.
Yeah, this really made me an awesome comment there, Kate. Yeah, like you said, the formatting is, you know, is really, you know, a unique, well, it's written like in a story, but, you know, it does have rhyme throughout it, like a poem, like pain comes through me in the different pier, but I house her enough in the atmosphere, tear. For she is someone wonderful I ought to hear, that the world may take notice of her pain to the lyre. You know, it rhymes at the same time throughout the story, right? And, you know, so, you know, awesome formatting, awesome, you know, awesome piece here by, you know, a deep, powerful piece, I find, by MSI Ulla Dadun. So thank you so, so much. And with that, I'm going to put up our next piece. There, I'll get it in here. Pop it in. And Kate, if you can give that a read for us, please.
Yes, of course. Through the Looking Glass. Just give me 1 second. Ah, fast losing my voice. Both, oh, that's a beautiful mirror. I want that. Through the looking glass. I fall backward from the looking glass and lie there for a moment, staring back into its shining depth, as if it were another person's dream, a stranger's destination, or perhaps the collective memory of a displaced tribe. I tell myself that what I see is only a reflection of where I am now. But the siren whispers from that frivolous frame, and I cannot resist, even if you say it's crazy to return to where I already am. End poem.
I love amazing read there, Kate. You know, I really like this. It's, you know, it's kind of twisted in a way. Looking into the mirror, you're looking into your, from what I drew out of it, you know, she's already in this magical land in her mind, or in, you know, in her imagination. And, you know, she says, you know, she thinks, you know, maybe she shouldn't go there, but, you know, it's just too beautiful that she really goes back to it. From what I get out of it, you know, it's just follow your dreams, follow your imagination, hang on to that, and, you know, and plunge through that looking glass and, you know, seep into all those wonderful things that are out there in your imagination. I don't know, I could be all wrong with my interpretation of this, but, you know, that's what I got out of it. Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this was a beautifully written brevity. Wonderful imagery. I really like what you had to say, Naomi. I always enjoy and appreciate poems that reference Alice in Wonderland, Through the Looking Glass. I'm particularly captivated by that second stanza, as if it were another person's dream, a stranger's destination, or perhaps the collective memory of a displaced tribe. You know, I like how there's this thought on seeing ourselves in history, throughout history, and connecting with it. So beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, that's an awesome observation. Yeah. Great comment there, Pam. And Aphasiana, your thoughts?
Like Pam, I really loved that second stanza. I found it interesting that it was another person's dream. So it's not just her dream, which would be, you know, an otherworldly kind of thing. It's not another person's life. It's another person's dream. So she's two steps removed from what's happening and what she's seeing. But I also love the concept of a collective memory of a displaced tribe. All of these things that have been lost, captured somehow in this mirror where you can see. It makes me think about the TV show Carnival Row, because there's this fairy world and the fae basically are colonized by the humans and they lose their sacred forest, but there's still like little bits of it, and imagining that through this mirror you can see like what it was supposed to be like. And then the third stanza, I tell myself what I see is only a reflection of where I am now. That really comments on the psychology and philosophy of we just project ourselves into things that we see. We interpret things through our own bias because of what we have experienced. You know, when we see someone's upset, we think, oh, it might be this or this, because that's the things that would upset us. We see context based on what our context is, when actually it could be something totally different. So our interpretation of the world is very much influenced by our experiences. And like Pam said, it could be looking at history and thinking that we see ourselves in it, but we see ourselves in anything because we're, you know, selfish creatures, and we, even if we're not trying to be selfish, put ourselves into whatever we're seeing, because it's just all the perspective that we have. I thought this was a very insightful piece.
Yeah, that's another awesome comment, Aphasiana. You know, this is a great write that brings out different interpretations and, you know, makes us really very thought-provoking piece. And Kate, your thoughts? Hello, Kate? Oops, did we lose Kate?
Well,
no, I'm
she's
sorry.
Still
I'm...
on. Oh, there she
I'm
is.
Here. I'm so sorry. This new headset thing has got like masses of wires everywhere, and I keep losing my button. Oh, dear. We're not still on a looking glass, are we? I think I may have closed up. Oh, we are? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Honestly, I thought I'd fallen asleep there. It would have been terrible. Yes. I thought I talked about this. Was it not, or was it in a dream? Oh, it was another person's dream. There you are. Oh, dear. I must stop taking these tablets. Yes. For a start, that looking glass is just amazing. So beautiful. But the whole story here is lovely. It's got that sort of otherworldly feel about it. It's got a kind of airy, fairy, lovely feel, and I enjoyed that. And I particularly liked, or perhaps the collective memory of a displaced tribe. That's sad, yes. But a silent whisper from that frivolous frame, and I cannot resist. Even if you say it's crazy to return to where I already am. Another very clever use of the words. I like that a lot. It's very clever, very inventive. So yes, it was a lovely piece of poetry. And thank you, Blue Raven, for allowing us to read it and see it. Thank you.
Awesome, awesome comment there, Kate. And I have our next poem up, Our Garden Delight. And Aphasiana, if you want to go ahead and give that a read.
Enchanted Elf by Garden Delights. Elven in stature, enchanting in character, born under signs of the seventh star, daughter of pathways both old and new, one with the heartbeat of nature, unafraid of nighttime's forest, she commands all wildlife languages and peoples of the old guard. Sunshine and shimmery stars, mystical meanderings, voice of the sacred legends, musician of harp and lyre, lovers of wood-wide celebrations, ribbons hung encrusted with jewels, braided willows lined with musical bells, her song rises, honoring the ancient ones. Rustling grasses join in the tune. Brook waters barble its wedded notes. Birds and mammals lift up their utterings. All the animation resounds in unity. Blessings for all upon you and with me. End poem.
Oh, what a dare, Phasiana. And you know, the same prompt and two different versions, whereas the other poet saw her as, you know, being evil. Garden Delights brings out all the beautifulness of a loving character here. And I just love, you know, of course I always, you know, I'm a fan of Garden Delights, right? But, you know, rustling grasses join in the tune, brook waters burble its wetted notes, birds and mammals lift up their utterings. You know, it just such beautiful lines all throughout this. You know, she's such a gracious writer, Garden Delights is, you know, with her, both her, the flow, the rhythm, and, you know, the just the way the whole, she puts a whole right together. It's just so beautiful. Kate, your thoughts?
Well, when you have a picture like that to start with, it will make your brain jump and enjoy. Because that is just the most ethereal looking, sweet looking, slightly evil looking fairy. And I do like it. In fact, I'm going to pinch it. I'm going to print it. Yes, so I'm going back to the poem, so Wittering Woman. Elven stature, enchanting in character, born under signs of the seventh star, daughter of pathways, both old and new. That's amazing. So clever. Lovers of worldwide celebrations, ribbon tongue. Yes, I think, again, we have a well-thought-out, well-written poem that appears to be, again, you see, it looks as though it's it dum-dum-dum, it goes along beautifully and you're enjoying it. But there's an awful lot of what goes into sunshine and shimmery stars, mystical meanderings, voice of the sacred legends, musicians of harp and lyre. A lot of work to make that hum like it does. So yes, I really enjoyed it. So I want to say thank you very much for allowing us to read this Garden Delights. It was fabulous.
Amazing comment. Yeah, what a great write. And Pam, your thoughts?
Oh, this has just wonderful imagery all the way through. I like how it's about a love for nature and about a land of beauty and magic and this elf that watches over it. I really particularly like sunshine and shimmery stars, mystical meanderings, voice of the sacred legends, musician of harp and lyre. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Oh yeah, so well said there, Pam. And I have our next write-up. Pam, if you can give that a read for us.
I would be happy to. This is Ify's Mirror. by Writin' Stuffs. And it goes like this. Deep in the woodlands among the greens, Efi's mirror appears near a stream, cast from the finest elven stones, its glossy surface a forged moonstone. Infused with magical elfin spells, dare not touch it, ye ne'er-do-wells. Only those of kindness may enter in, along with traveling kith and kin. For wisdom is abundant in its glass, for any well-deserving lad or lass. To travel timeless realms within, here ye be among only friends. To lad and lass with sincere hearts, wisdom will this mirror impart. So use it well for good of all. Be courageous and you'll stand tall. In fey magic there can be found wisdom that is superbly profound. Within this woodland of fey eyes, your compassion will be analyzed. If found wanting, you'll never enter into this mirror's alchemized center. Fey don't allow darkness to spread. Their world is now composed of dread. These elementals angels be, and there be one for every tree. They live within the sinewy hearts beneath that rugged-looking bark. Efi is watcher of these woods, and only those who are very good. She gifts with hope for each tomorrow to elevate this world of sorrow. End poem.
Oh, what a wonderful read there, Pam. You know, so well written piece. You know, I just love the rhythm and the rhyme, the meter, spot on. Deep in the woodlands among the greens, Efi's mirror appears near a stream, cast from the finest elven stones, its glossy surface forged moonstone. You know, what a way to start out, you know, such a beautiful rite. I love this all through, right to the end, you know, where, you know, she really brings us this character, this magical land. Just a beautiful, beautiful rite throughout. Faziana, what are your thoughts?
I thought it was gorgeous. The descriptions are wonderful. I really like traveling kith and kin. And I've always known what kin meant, but I honestly didn't know what kith was. And then looking it up, that it's like friends, so it's friends and family, kith and kin. I love that. I love the way that it sounds, and I'm going to use the word kiss more now. I like picking up new vocabulary, so I love that. I thought this really created the scene, so much beauty in it, and the alchemized center of the mirror is really cool, because the idea of alchemy, of turning things into gold, of creating something magical out of just regular iron, is really a neat thing that within the mirror we're creating gold, maybe not literal gold, but a whole new world that is golden. This is just gorgeous.
Thank you, Faziana. Awesome, awesome comment. And Kate, your thoughts?
I'm sorry, but I've actually completely lost my voice now. Coughing. So could you go on to somebody else, my dear, please?
Yes. Pam, your thoughts?
Oh, I thought this had wonderful imagery and great rhyme. I thought it was just a captivating tale on the idea of a guardian of a land that keeps evil away. I really like that part about the mirror's alchemized center, but I also really like, for wisdom is abundant in its glass, for any well-deserving lad or lass, to travel timeless realms within, here ye be among only friends. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Yes, thank you so much. And we'll let Kate to rest her voice. And I want to thank you, you know, Kate and Aphasiana, for being our guests tonight. Oh, my gracious, it was so much fun to have you here. You know, such interesting comments. And, you know, thank you so much for joining us in this show. Awesome show, awesome company. And, I would like just to thank everybody who hang out on the board, too, who hung out on the board. You know, Stelina, my Sai, Ola, the Dunn, and Dammit Dave was there, and so many others. Thank you so, so much. And thank you, everybody, for writing for the show. It's so, so appreciated. And we'll see you. I'll see you tomorrow night with Pam for Art of Seduction. For, you know, those who wrote for that show, or, you know, we'll look forward to seeing you there. And, oh, yes, Keeping It Brief tomorrow at 1 also for our brevity show. So I want to just say good night to everybody, and thank you so, so much for being such awesome people that you are. Thank you, and good night, everybody.
Good night.